Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is part of the gospel lesson for today, where there is breakfast prepared, and Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." Change is a part of our world. We live with it, whether we like it or not. Some change is good, some changes aren't so good. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where God creates Adam and Eve, and he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. Well, to subdue the earth, you're going to make changes in it. You're going to make some good changes, hopefully. And we have to face change in one way or another throughout our life. Just in case, you might know someone who is 50 years of age or older. 50 years ago, gasoline cost 34 cents a gallon. There were no cell phones 50 years ago. There was no GPS 50 years ago. And if you were watching a football game 50 years ago, and it was the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go, they stopped showing the football game so you could see your regularly scheduled program. 50 years ago, there was no Sesame Street. 50 years ago, there were no personal computers. 50 years ago, there were no ATMs. You had to go to the bank, and if it was Saturday afternoon after 12 noon, and you hadn't gone to the bank, God bless you. You hadn't gone to the bank, you were out of luck. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says in chapter 7, verse 10, "Don't say, why were the good old days better than these? For it is not from the wisdom that you ask this." The good old days, when you had to go outside with a bucket of water and pump and prime the pump so you get water, so you could get some food to wash the dishes and so forth. Change is there. I have to share this with you. 100 years ago, there were 8,000 cars in the United States. There was 144 miles of paved road in the United States. About 100 years ago, my mother was a teenager, and she went out one day on a ride with her friends in one of these fancy new automobiles. And they rode around and rode around. They came to a hill. They had to back up the hill so the gas tank would be higher than the engine. The next time you buy a car, be sure to ask the salesperson, "Does this person have a fuel pump?" It might be handy if you want to go up a hill. There was change in the lives of these seven men that our gospel talks about today. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had been with him morning, afternoon, and night. They saw him preach. They saw him take the sick and make them better. He even raised the dead. They saw him do many great and wonderful things. They knew him to be God's son. And then came Holy Week. From cheers and welcome hosannas to crucify him, and their master and their Lord was killed on a cross. They were stunned. What a change in their lives. He was gone. What shall we do? We don't want to get arrested. We don't want the same thing that happened to Jesus happen to me, so we're going to meet behind locked doors. Then behind locked doors, some women come and tell the disciples, "We saw Jesus. The tomb is empty. We saw Jesus. He's alive." Women weren't very good witnesses in those days, so they didn't believe them. Two men were walking to Emmaus that afternoon, and a man was walking with them, and he explained the scriptures, how the Christ had to die. And when he blessed the bread, they recognized him as Jesus, but then he disappears. So they ran back to Jerusalem and told the others, "Hey, we've seen Jesus." And all of a sudden, he appears behind locked doors. He says, "Peace be with you." Jesus is alive. But then he disappears. There's something changing going on here, and the 11 can't quite figure out what's going on here. Jesus is alive, but He's not with us, you know, day by day the way he used to be. And what? How can we handle this? I mean, what's in store? He says, receive the Holy Spirit, but just all, what does all that mean yet? And so, like the rest of us, they go back to something that is familiar to them. When you are faced with some kind of a change, and you can't quite figure out all the ins and outs of that change or what it means for you, it's good to go back to something that is normal and regular for you. And so it's good to kind of take a break from trying to figure out change and just settle down, try to calm down in some way. So we go back to something that is familiar to us. For Peter, guess what? He's a fisherman. I'm going to go fish. And there were seven of them decide to go fishing with him. Something familiar. They go fishing. In those days, on the Sea of Galilee, you fish at night. That's why the question was asked of them. Friends, have you caught any fish? Not this night. What they do is on their boats, they have an arm of a yard arm or something that goes out over the water, and on that yard arm is a lantern. And they light the lantern. They go out at night on the water. There's a bunch of fish in that lake. It's dark out. What's that light up there, the fish say to one another? Let's go up and see what that light means. Is it the sun coming out early today? So the fish go up towards the light. And as the boat circles around, then the fish look for the light. All of a sudden, the fish are in a net. And the fishermen have their catch for the night, and they can make a living being fishermen. That night they caught nothing. That sometimes happens. Sometimes fishermen are out on the boat for hours and they catch nothing. Maybe it's a nap, but they don't catch anything. They didn't catch anything, and someone comes on the shore. He looks familiar, but they don't recognize him as anybody that they know. And he says, friend, have you caught any fish? And they say, no. He says, try throwing your nets on the right side of the ship, which they do. All of a sudden, they got a great big catch of fish. Then John, one of the sons of Zebedee, who is on the boat, that's Jesus. Peter says, that's Jesus, oh my goodness. So he puts on his outer coat and runs off to the shore. When he gets there, there's a fire. On the fire is probably a pan of some kind, and there's fish in the fire, cooking. There's some bread there, too. Jesus says, come, have breakfast. You and I need those comfortable times when we're trying to figure out some change that has happened in our lives. That's okay. It's all right to do that because Jesus doesn't yell at the disciples. He doesn't say, you idiots, why are you out fishing? You should be thinking about what I've told you all my years of ministry among you, and you should be thinking about going out and spreading the gospel. He doesn't say that at all to them. He doesn't yell at them. He wants to give them more. He wants to give them something, not yell at them. He wants to give them something positive. He gave them a catch of fish that would make any fisherman proud and make a good sale in the marketplace. But Jesus gave them more. Come and have breakfast. You and I, when we try to deal with change, we need that time to chill out and just take it easy for a while. There's nothing wrong with that, but we forget at times to add Jesus to the equation. That's our problem. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross and gave us forgiveness of our sins and life and salvation. But even during his ministry, Jesus says, there's more. Jesus says in John 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants more for you. He wants more for you and me. He's not just happy to forgive us our sins. His love is so great that it spills over into all parts of our life, into the lives of fishermen. He gives them fish. He gives them bread. He gives them breakfast. Jesus wants to come and give us more as we go about our daily tasks from day to day, whether we're facing challenges or whether we're enjoying a normal day and things aren't going all that bad. Breakfast is prepared for you. Jesus has a meal for you today. It's not fish. There is bread and there is wine. And he's coming to you with his love, his forgiveness, his strength, his encouragement, his hope to make you a stronger Christian. Jesus loves us so much. He gives us not only his love and forgiveness on the cross, he gives us strength and renewed, and he blesses us so much every day. So, breakfast is served. Come and partake of the forgiveness and love of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We respond now to all the blessings that God has given to us by sharing back to him some of the blessings we have received in the offering. And if you are a guest and even members, we want you to sign the Burgundy attendance register that's at the end of every row of pews. Please sign it and pass it along. And especially if you're a visitor, we want to thank you for being with us today.